Let's pray as we open our Bibles together. Father, we are here because you have brought us here. We have had the opportunity to worship you, and we thank you for your presence here. Now, as we turn to your word, we know that without your voice speaking to us, we will not be able to hear the message that each of us individually needs to hear. And so we just ask that your Spirit would come, that you would speak to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we go through various things in life, one thing that seems to become very clear is that God does not always come in the way we expect. He does not always speak to us in the way that we are prepared for him to speak. But we do always know that he is there, and for that I am thankful. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the story of Joseph. And Joseph's story, to me, just illustrates the fact that we never know what's going to happen when God comes. But there is one thing that is virtually true. Every time God comes, he disrupts something. Have you experienced that? You thought life was going pretty well, fairly predictable as life can be. And then God comes, and it's like he changes things. And we don't always like it when he changes things. And in this story of Joseph, Joseph is actually brought into a moral dilemma, because his world has been turned upside down. He doesn't understand what is going on, because the way Jesus has chosen to come is not what he expected. Joseph is considering taking drastic action when, in verse 20 of Matthew 1, it says, "While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" So don't be afraid when God comes in a way that you do not expect. Don't be afraid. Don't try to control circumstances. But understand that when God comes, he has a purpose, and that is to save us from our sins. Now, I felt that we needed to take just a little bit of time to understand what this sin is. Because we create neat little boxes in our minds. We think we know. But there are times when we need to understand that we don't necessarily know what we think we do. A few texts on sin here. What is sin? Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Now, this is a little scary, because it tells us that sin is often a way that seems right to us. So the way that seems right, but it is actually a way of death. Our next text in Hebrews 3 says, "Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So sin is a way that seems right and yet is deceitful. And if we get into that sin, it says his own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. So it is something that seems right initially. It's deceitful and it catches us in its cords. It is something that binds us. We go to the book of James. And it says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So sin is actually something that begins with our own desires. And that is what makes it so dangerous. Because it is actually something that we want. That seems perhaps right, but is deceptive and ultimately leads us into the process of death. I was interesting as I was looking at John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus' own words. He said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And what's interesting to me is, when I've looked at this text before, the basic sequence in my mind has always been, okay, if you commit sin, you will become a slave of sin. But I realized as I studied this text, that's not really what this text is saying. What this text is saying is if you commit sin, it means that you are already a slave. If you hadn't been a slave, you would not have committed the sin. And so we discover this truth, the biblical truth, that sin is a result of our being enslaved. We don't always realize even that we are in that path. And ultimately, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We go back to the time of Jesus. And we have this text in Isaiah. It was a prophecy that said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Talking about the day when Jesus would come. This familiar text, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his judgment, government, and peace, there will be no end. What happens when Jesus comes? We go from darkness to light. We go from blindness to being able to see. When Jesus comes, life changes for the better. We think about the birth of Christ and we think about the song of the angels as they sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here the angels were. They knew what heaven was like. They knew what God was like. And they knew, they were excited as they knew what was about to happen to the people on this earth because Jesus had come. And I can only imagine their response as they saw the indifference of the world. And they realized this startling fact that we were not responsive to the incredible gift of God. As we hear their song, peace, goodwill to men, they were assuring the shepherds that heard that song, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, the one who would save his people from their sins. You see, we need a Savior. If we don't have a Savior, if Jesus does not come to us, we are lost. We have no idea what direction we are going. But when Jesus comes, he disrupts the order of things and takes us in a new direction. Colossians 1 says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. When Jesus comes into our hearts, there is a change that takes place. We are conveyed, we are carried into a new kingdom. And 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. When Jesus comes, things change. I move from Jesus' birth to a fascinating incident in Jesus' life. You can find it in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus has walked into the temple. And as he stands there and he looks around, he sees money changers. He sees animals being bought and sold. He sees people who have come to church desperately seeking to make sure that they have a relationship with God. And he sees people being deceived into thinking that the system of religion into which they have been introduced was real. And Jesus looked around and he saw all this confusion going on. And he could not allow this to go on. And so we see this picture. He picks up a cord. By the way, Scripture never says he used it on anybody. But he picks up this cord and he looks around and he says to the money changers, take these things out of here. And then he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. When Jesus comes, things change. We need to realize this, because when Jesus comes into our hearts, it's not always a comfortable experience. Because you see, when Jesus comes, sin is uncomfortable. You may come to church on Sabbath morning, and you might hear something that disturbs you. I hope you do. Because if we are not disturbed by our current condition, we are not seeing Jesus in his fullness. What is fascinating to me, as we look at this story, is the rest of the text. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then verse 14 says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Do you see what is happening here? Those who are trying to make merchandise out of religion, those who have perpetrated the false concept of religion, have been chased out of church. But the blind suddenly see. The lame suddenly walk. When Jesus comes, things change. Sin is made uncomfortable. But we suddenly see as we have never seen before. We often sing the song, into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I encourage you to sing that song. But I encourage you to remember that when Jesus comes in, there may be some things that need to go out. When we say, come into my heart, it sounds like such a comfortable thing. But when Jesus comes, it may be uncomfortable because he may have to do some house cleaning before we can actually see the beauty and sense the joy of having Jesus in our hearts and our lives. But to see that temple, the scene, there's coins scattered all over the floor. The money counters are suddenly very disturbed. And yet, the poor, the blind, the lame are shouting for joy because Jesus has come and he's made a difference. I take us from his birth to the cleansing of the temple to the second coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, the hope that we have, the promise that when he comes, we will be reunited with our loved ones. When he comes, earth will never, ever, ever be the same again. And I say to that, amen and amen. Because this earth is not our home. This earth has nothing worth living for except the people around us. The deceptions of sin that has been woven around us, we need Jesus to come into our lives today to dispel the darkness and enable us to look forward to the day when he will come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It gives us the hope of the transformation. And that is what we need. That is what we long for. As we look forward to that day when Jesus will come, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What will the response of God's people be when Jesus comes? Yes, he has just disrupted life. He has just come and totally turned the earth upside down. But their response, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. How can we look forward to the day when Jesus will come? We sing that song, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and we welcome the disruption. We pray that God will open our eyes, that he will open our ears, that he will enable us to accept that which he wants to bring in. And we will be willing to let go of that which he does not want to be there. Because we realize that God has something far better for us here than we have ever seen before. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And that is often a text we look at and we say, my, that's going to be nice when we get to heaven. And we see those things that God has prepared for us, and I look forward to that. But I come back to verse 10, and it says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. And that means the things that eye has not seen, the things that ear has not heard, God wants to reveal to us today through His Spirit. He wants to come in. He wants to disrupt our lives. He wants to disrupt our church. He wants to take us away from life as normal. And He wants us to take us to life as Spirit-filled people who suddenly have discovered something far better than what we have ever dreamed possible. Are you ready? Are you ready to say, Jesus, come in? You are welcome to disrupt anything you want to disrupt. You're welcome to clean out anything you want to clean out. You are welcome to bring in anything that you want to bring in. I don't want to live in darkness. We don't want to live in a life that is just our own creation. We want Jesus to come in to our hearts and our lives. The end time generation will be a people whose lives have been positively disrupted by the presence of Jesus. They are transformed people. They have a different focus. They have a different mission. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We don't want to live in darkness anymore. We don't want to live in the hopelessness of clinging to this world. We want to live in the hope and faith of a coming Lord who is ready to disrupt permanently the mayhem of this world and take us to a place that is beyond anything we could ever imagine. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the wonders of your love. Lord, we give you permission today to disrupt our lives so that we will be shaken loose from this world and we will be able to see you more clearly. Come into our hearts today. Come in to stay. Lord Jesus, be part of us, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.